Okay, we are in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 49, starting from verse 1.
Concerning the Ammonites, thus saith the Lord, hath Israel no sons, hath he no heir? Why then doth their king inherit Gad, and his people dwell in his cities?
Now, last time, if you remember, we learned about Moab. Moabites and Ammonites came from the same father, and as you know, Genesis chapter 19, verses 37, talks about Moabites. And Genesis chapter 19, verse 38, talks about Ammonites. And you know how these people came. They are Lot's children, but they got from his own daughters. And the younger daughter named the, not Ammonites, but she named Ben-Ammi. And later on, they became Ammonites. In this chapter, we have so many countries and their judgment. Chapter is so big, so I'm going to give a little bit history about this, how God even asked other prophets to give the judgment. Let's read a couple of chapters. Ezekiel chapter 25, verses 1 to 7. 25, verses 1 to 7.
The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against the Ammonites, and prophesy against them. And say unto the Ammonites, Hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God, Because thou saidst, Aha, against my sanctuary, when it was profaned, and against the land of Israel, when it was desolate, and against the house of Judah, when they went into captivity. Behold, therefore, I will deliver thee to the men of the east for a possession, and they shall set their palaces in thee, and make their dwellings in thee. They shall eat thy fruit, and they shall drink thy milk. And I will make Rabbah a stable for camels, and the Ammonites a couching place for flocks, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. For thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast clapped thine hands, and stamped with the feet, and rejoiced in heart with all thy despite against the land of Israel. Behold, therefore, I will stretch out mine hand upon thee, and will deliver thee for a spoil to the heathen, and I will cut thee off from the people, and I will cause thee to perish out of the countries. I will destroy thee, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord.
Now see here, God is saying, these Ammonites, they were enemy to Israel. When the Israeli people were in trouble, when their sanctuary was destroyed, and they went to captivity, these Ammonites were dancing and having good time, and they were thinking, that's good what Israeli people are suffering. Even though our enemy is in trouble, we have to help our enemy. These people did not help Israeli people, but tried to destroy them. Go to the book of Amos, chapter 1, verses 13 to 15. Amos.
Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of the children of Ammon, and for four I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have ripped up the women with child of Gilead, that they might enlarge their border.
See what they did? The pregnant women, they ripped their stomach and killed the baby. It's a cruel thing to do it. And so God did not punish them right away, but now the time has come, God says, God is going to punish them. Okay.
But I will kindle a fire on the wall of Rabbah, and it shall devour the palaces thereof, with shouting in the day of battle, with a tempest in the day of the whirlwind. And their king shall go into captivity, he and his princes together, saith the Lord.
Okay. Now you know these people were not good people, were very bad people, did not have compassion, did not have love, but they were bad people. That's why the time has come. Jeremiah chapter 49, starting from verse 2.
Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will cause an alarm of war to be heard in Rabbah of the Ammonites, and it shall be a desolate heap. And her daughters shall be burned with fire. Then shall Israel be heir unto them that were his heirs, saith the Lord.
Rabbah is the capital city of this country. And so God says, I'm going to put fear in their heart. When the fear of the Lord comes, means not a good fear, it's a bad fear that God is going to destroy you. When that fear comes, he said, not only that, I'm going to burn your cities with a fire. When God is against you, nobody can help you. And that's the situation in these people. And God says, I'm going to destroy you. Verse 3.
Hallow Heshbon, for Ai is spoiled. Cry, ye daughters of Rabbah. Gird ye with sackcloth, lament, and run to and fro by the hedges. For their king shall go into captivity, and his priests and his princes together.
Here he says, your king will go to captivity. But actually, their God is Molech. That God will go, because here he says king and priests and princes. So not only the king, prince and princess and priest, but their God. Their God was idol, and they were worshiping idol God. But God says, I'm going to destroy your God. The God will be taken to captivity. And as I said last week, their God is not ordinary gods. Means they make a God with the gold. Because these people also, just like a Moab, Moabites were very rich, and their God were made with the gold. And so these people's God also were made with the gold. You see some Buddha statues or Indian gods, goddesses statues. They are all made by gold. And so he says, the Babylonian people will come and take your statues, take your priests, take your princes, take your king, and all the people and your main cities will be destroyed. Verse 4.
Wherefore gloriest thou in the valley as thy flowing valley, O backsliding daughter, that trusted in her treasures, saying, who shall come unto me?
Now here is saying to this country, you are just like a backslidden daughter. So he says, why? Because Lot was nephew of Abraham, and he used to worship Jehovah God. You can imagine when he got these two children, he would have told them to worship Jehovah God. And they might be worshiping Jehovah God just like Abraham, Isaac, and Lot. But here it says, when you got treasure, when you got money, when you got fame, when you got wealth, you forgot the real God and you became backslidden. That means you are not worshiping real God, you are going after foreign gods, you are going after the idols, and that's the way you are backslidden. Verse 5.
Behold, I will bring a fear upon thee, saith the Lord God of hosts, from all those that be about thee. And ye shall be driven out every man right forth, and none shall gather up him that wandereth.
Now here it says, I'm going to bring fear upon you, and you will be scattered all over the world, and not a single person will help you. Even though you go to the foreign land, you go to other countries, they will not help you, but they will punish you, harass you, and you will have problems. Now here it says, I will bring fear or put fear in your heart. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, God has not given us the spirit of fear. He has given us power, love, and sound mind. But see, for the enemies, he gives the fear, because godly people do not have fear, because God's love stays in our heart. And the word of God says, the love of God casteth out the fear. The Christian people should not be living in fear and anxiety. If you read in 91 Psalm, it says, thousands and ten thousands will be falling and dying left and right, but it will not come on you. And in the last verse, he said, I will show you my salvation and I will give you long life. So the Christian people, the believers, we are not living in fear. We are not living in anxiety. We are not living in doubt on what will happen tomorrow, because tomorrow never comes. Tomorrow will be always tomorrow. We think about today. The word of God says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You cannot put it off for tomorrow. If you put it off for tomorrow, tomorrow will never come. But here he says the heathen or these backslidden people, they have fear, they have anxiety. And who did it? God says, I put it in their heart, so they will be tormented. Verse 6.
And afterward I will bring again the captivity of the children of Ammon, saith the Lord.
Verse 6, it says, even that they go for captivity, they will suffer there in the hand of enemies, and everywhere they will be scattered. Do you know the children of Israel scattered everywhere in every country? And each and every country, they are treating them bad, and now they are trying to come back to their own country. So here the word of God is saying, this will happen to these people, Ammonites, but the time will come, and I will bring their captivities back again and bring them to Jerusalem. This is not the immediately, but this is talking about the millennium. When Jesus Christ comes and start his millennium kingdom in Israel, that's the time he will give these people, Ammonites, a chance to come back. And last week we also learned Moabites also will be given chance. Why? Because they are Lot's children. Abraham rescued Lot when the enemy came to destroy the Lot. And he prayed, Lord, save Lot. So the God was trying to tell the Abraham, if there is a 10 people, I will not destroy. And Abraham prayed and prayed, and from 50 to 40 to 30 to 20 to 10. And he thought, oh, my Lot, his wife, his daughters, and their husbands, or 10 people will be there. But they were not 10 people, only Lot, his wife, and two daughters. So they left the Sodom and Gomorrah, and Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. So here the word of God is saying, in the last days, I will bring Moabites, I will bring Ammonites, and I will give them chance to be in millennium. Now, verse 7. Verse 7 starts with the Edom. Let's read.
Concerning Edom, thus saith the Lord of hosts, is wisdom no more in Teman? Is counsel perished from the prudent? Is their wisdom vanished?
Many people do not know who Edom is. But the Edom is coming from Esau. And do you know Esau? Who is the Esau? Esau is the son of Isaac. And Isaac got two sons. First one was Esau, and the second one was Jacob. So this is the son of Esau. Genesis chapter 36, verse 1.
Now these are the generations of Esau, who is Edom.
See, these are the generation of Esau, and the first son's name came Edom. And from Esau's, the Edomite came, and today, you know who are those people? Saudi Arabians are from Esau, and they call Edomic people. So this is just like in the beginning, Esau was the elder son of Isaac. And so Jacob went to his uncle's place. It's a long story, but you have to read in the Bible, because Esau was the bigger son and Jacob was the younger son. And the Esau went for hunting, didn't get anything, comes home and says to Jacob, would you give me that porridge? And he said, well, you are an older brother, I'm the younger brother. If you give your birthrights, I'll give you. So he despised his birthright and took the porridge and gave him birthright. Maybe he wrote it on the paper or whatever he did, it's not clear, but he said, from today onwards, you are the Esau, or you are the bigger brother, and I'm the younger brother, but give me that porridge. And he lost his blessing, because in those days, older son will be getting all the blessings from the father. So the point I'm making, these people, Esau, they were very strong, living in mountain, and they were thinking they are very wise people. And the history says, in the earlier time, Muslim people were very smart and inventor and things like that. Not only that, here is the word in this seventh verse, it says, Teman. And if you remember, when Job was having problem, and these his friend came, and they were coming, and one of them came from Teman. Read the Job chapter 2, verse 11. Why I'm saying this? Because these people were thinking themselves, they are wise, they can give advice. So they were thought, they were very smart, and they are very highly educated.
Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came everyone from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. For they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him.
See, they came to give comfort and wisdom, but their wisdom, if you read the Job's whole chapter, their wisdom was corrupt. God did not like their advice, and God was going to punish them. After, if you read in Job chapter 42, God told these friends, you better go to Job and take the sacrifice and tell Job to pray for you. And God told Job, you pray for those friends, otherwise they will be destroyed. And then Job prayed for them. And as soon as Job prayed, God delivered him and gave him the double the blessings, and his sickness and disease was gone. So here is saying, you people are very wise. Your people living at Teman, and you are very famous, but the time has come that you're going to be destroyed. Verse 8. Book of Jeremiah, chapter 49, verse 8.
Flee ye, turn back, dwell deep, O inhabitants of Dedan, for I will bring the calamity of Esau upon him, the time that I will visit him. If grape gatherers come to thee, would they not leave some gleaning grapes? If thieves by night, they will destroy till they have enough.
God is giving an example. He says, if somebody works in your farm and gathering grapes, even though they gather grapes by mistake, or sometimes those people used to keep some little bit crop for the poor people. So he says, the people come and work in the farm, they will leave some of the fruits back. And he gave another example. If the thief comes to rob, thief doesn't come and takes the whole house and everything. Thief comes, takes the jewelry, takes the money, takes the cash, and run for his life. And everything is remaining in the back. So he says, let me give an example. Even the people comes to gather the grapes, they leave some grapes. Thief leaves some of the things back, but I am going to destroy you. Verse 10.
But I have made Esau bare, I have uncovered his secret places, and he shall not be able to hide himself. His seed is spoiled, and his brethren, and his neighbors, and he is not.
Now here is saying, I am going to destroy the Esau or Edom, and he will not have anything. Means everything will be gone. And he says, if you say, I'm going to hide from God, I'm going to run from God, God is not going to see me. That's what the people are doing today. They are running in the basement or running some secret places. And he says, God cannot see me. People think that, if I go in the dark room, God will not see. But what the psalmist says, go to Psalm 139 and start reading from verse 7. 16.
Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee.
Here the word of God is saying, where are you going to run from me? Psalmist says, I cannot go anywhere. Anywhere I go, God is there. Even though I go to the hell, God will find me in there. And then he says, darkness and light is no difference in the eyes of God. He can see from a deep darkness. The man is trying to say, oh, I can run away from God. And that's why people are robbers and killers and murderers. They hide themselves thinking that government will not find me or nobody can find me. But God knows everything. God can see you, what you're doing and where you're doing and what kind of sin you're doing. You cannot hide from God. Whatever you're doing in secret, God will bring it in open. The Word of God says every word you say, you have to give account of your word. Then somebody says, that's so dangerous. I say so many bad things, and God is going to tell everything what I said and what everything I did. Yes, the Word of God says in the book of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it says God has appointed a day, once to die, after that the judgment. So the people are afraid of judgment. That's why people run from their life. And sometimes if they did a crime, they kill themselves so they will not be judged. And they think, this is the end of it. Or just jump in the lake and we'll go to heaven. This is, people are thinking. But God says, you know, you can die, you can kill yourself, but one day will be judgment. That's why people are afraid of judgment. But I have good news for you. You don't have to be afraid of judgment. If you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are passed from death unto life and no condemnation. Read that John chapter 5, verse 24.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
See, if you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you say, Lord, I'm a sinner, I believe that you came to die for sinners, and I believe that you died for me, I receive you in my heart, please forgive all my sins, wash me with your precious blood, and I want to live for you. As soon as the person says like that, what happens is sins are forgiven, forgotten, there is no record of their sins, and the Word of God says, now you are passed from death unto life and no condemnation. Book of Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2, please read.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
If you are in Christ and living a Christian life led by the Spirit of God, now, there are some people, they say, oh, you are a born-again Christian. You can do anything and your sins will be forgiven automatically. It doesn't work that way. Once we receive Jesus Christ, we ask the forgiveness of our sins are forgiven, forgotten. Now, the Spirit of God should lead you in His way. Always when you start doing something wrong, the Spirit of God will say, no. But the people ignore it and say, I don't care what God says. This is what I have to do. And they do it. And then people will say, then what happened? That Christian is lost forever. No. The Word of God says, then you confess your sins. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if you read, it says, God is faithful. We have to confess our sins to Him, and He will forgive all our sins. Please read.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
See, it doesn't cost you anything. In the olden days, if you commit sin, you have to bring bull or goat or some kind of sacrifice. But for us, Jesus Christ is high priest. He says He is your mediator. The devil is a liar, he is a deceiver, and he is the accuser of brethren. Devil will always come and say, hey, you did that, you did this. And if you confess your sins, tell the devil, devil, you are a liar. I'm a child of God. I'm living in the Spirit of God, and I do everything to please God. The Word of God says when you are born again, you got the Spirit of God and the seed of God, so you cannot commit sin. Only willfully you do, but God is always there to warn you. And if you take the warning, you will not do it. So here, the Word of God is saying to this Adam, you are trying to run from me, but there is no place you can run. Okay, go back to the Jeremiah chapter 49 and verse 11.
Leave thy fatherless children, I will preserve them alive, and let thy widows trust in me.
Now here he's saying when the war will come, in the last war, the war, battle of Armageddon, most of the countries will coming and fighting, and many, many soldiers, many, many people will be killed. But their babies, their wives will be still alive. Most of the countries, their wives and babies not go, they don't go for war. So God says, I will take care of the fatherless and I will take care of the widows. And today you see how many people running from Syria. Their husbands died, and the little children and the wives and widows, they are coming to Christ. And many people are receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I heard many, many widows, Muslim countries, they are hearing the voice of God. They are seeing the vision, and they are coming to Christ. In Muslim countries, especially in Iran and other countries. So this word is true. They are sending their husbands and their adults to be suicide bombers and things like that. They might be getting money. But God says in the last days, when those people will be destroyed, he says, I'll take care of fatherless and I'll take care of the widows. Verse 12.
For thus saith the Lord, behold, they whose judgment was not to drink of the cup have assuredly drunken. And art thou he that shall altogether go unpunished? Thou shalt not go unpunished, but thou shalt surely drink of it. For I have sworn by myself, saith the Lord, that Bozrah shall become a desolation, a reproach, a waste, and a curse, and all the cities thereof shall be perpetual wastes.
Now here is saying, they said, we are not going to drink this cup of the Lord. Cup of the Lord means wrath of God. They say, oh no, God is not going to punish us because we are the children of Abraham. And that's what the Muslim people are thinking. They're saying we are the children of Abraham because Abraham got first son Ishmael, and so we are his children, and then called Isaac. From Isaac came Israeli people. So they're thinking, oh, he was the firstborn, and we are from Ishmael's children, so we are Abraham's family. Abraham is our father, and that's what they're thinking. But what happened? All the Esau and all the Lot and all the other Shade's family, they were worshiping the Jehovah God. But what happened after Jesus Christ came and the Christianity spread, and that Muhammad comes and says, I am the prophet of God and I have a message. But we learn about Messiah. We learn Jesus Christ is the last prophet. He is the prophet. After Jesus, there is no promise that there will be another prophet. So then Muhammad comes and he says, I'm the last prophet. It's not in the Bible. But what he said, we are not going to worship Jehovah God. We are not going to worship Israeli people's God. We are going to make our own God. That is not in the Bible. That's not my subject. But the point I'm making, all these Muslim people earlier, before the Muhammad came, they were worshiping Jehovah God. If you witnessing to Muslim people, tell them, are you worshiping real God? Now they are mesmerizing you. They said, our God, your God, and all gods are the same. It's not. Now if somebody says, oh, Buddha and Jesus, what is the difference? Buddha came from India. Buddha was looking for God. He could not find God. He sat under the tree and he said, Buddhiyam Sharanam Gachami in Sanskrit. What he was saying, he says, you know, I don't find God. So whatever my brain says, my wisdom says, that's my God. So I should worship the person who is smart. He did not know Jesus. There is a story, somebody came to Buddha and said, my daughter is dead. Could you raise her? And so he said, go to every house and see if there is any person is not dead in that family. The lady went to everywhere and everybody saying, my father died, my sister died, my brother died, my child died. She came back, said, everybody has death in the family. Then he said, oh, this is nature. I cannot help. But the Jairus' daughter dead, and he came to Jesus Christ and he says, my daughter is very sick. Could you come to heal her? He said, okay, I'm coming. While he was going, one servant comes. He said, don't bother, master. Your baby is already dead. She was 12 years old. What Jesus said, your daughter is going to be alive. She is not dead. So the point I'm making, even the girl was dead when Jesus Christ went. But he says she is not dead because he has the authority over the life. And so the point I'm making, Buddha and Christ is not the same. Hindu gods and Jesus is not the same. People are thinking, oh, you can worship any God. Not a single God gave their life for mankind. Jesus Christ came from heaven looking for mankind. All other gods, what they say, all other religions seek for God. God came seeking for mankind. That's the difference between Hinduism, Buddhism, or any other ism. God came to look for you. And Word of God says we were yet sinner. Jesus Christ died for us. That's the great news. So we have to tell people, Jesus Christ is a great God. Here the Word of God is saying, these people say, oh, nobody can destroy us. Nobody can find us. We can do whatever we want to do. But God says, your time has come. Okay, verse 14.
I have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent unto the heathen, saying, gather ye together, and come against her, and rise up to the battle. For lo, I will make thee small among the heathen, and despised among men. Thy terribleness hath deceived thee, and the pride of thine heart, O thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, that holdest the height of the hill. Though thou shouldest make thy nest as high as the eagle, I will bring thee down from thence, saith the Lord.
You are rich. You have big, big towers. They are so big in Muslim countries, you see, many, many towers. And so they are thinking these towers, these are wealth, showing the wealth people are thinking about rich. And some of the people are thinking to go on moon, and America went on moon. Now some people are thinking we can go beyond the moon on a star. And some Muslim people now also want to join and go and find some place in another planet. What God is saying, even though you go in the highest place and make a nest like an eagle, eagle is the only bird, makes his nest far high. Says, you will, if you do that, I will bring you down, I'll destroy you. People are thinking, okay, we go to moon, you go to some other planet, and we'll destroy the earth planet, and we'll be saved. No, everything hanging together. And the Word of God says, God is the one controlling everything. You can go anywhere. When the earth is destroyed, all other planets will be destroyed automatically. So go to the book of Obadiah, chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. And they're also saying, it's the same thing. I will bring you down wherever you go and make your nest.
The vision of Obadiah. Thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised.
And you will be reading in Jeremiah also. Do you know Muslim people today are majority and then the Christian? So the Muslims are so many. But the Word of God said, the time will come, you will be little.
The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground?
See, they are very proud people.
Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord.
The Word of God saying, you can even go and stay in the star or any other planet, but God will bring you down. There is not a single place we can hide from God. Okay, let's go back to the Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 17.
Also Edom shall be a desolation. Everyone that goeth by it shall be astonished, and shall hiss at all the plagues thereof.
Can you imagine? All the buildings, all the wealth, everything will be gone, and the place will be like a ruin, desolate place. People will be saying, what happened to this great country? Okay, verse 18.
As in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah and of the neighbor cities thereof, saith the Lord, no man shall abide there, neither shall a son of man dwell in it.
Now he is giving an example. Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, and now today, not a single person living in that place. So he said the same thing will happen to these countries. Verse 19.
Behold, he shall come up like a lion from the swelling of Jordan against the habitation of the strong. But I will suddenly make him run away from her. And he was a chosen man that I may appoint over her, for he was like me, and who will appoint me the time. And who is that shepherd that will stand before me? Therefore hear the counsel of the Lord that he hath taken against Edom, and his purposes that he hath purposed against the inhabitants of Teman. Surely the least of the flock shall draw them out. Surely he shall make their habitations desolate with them. The earth is moved at the noise of their fall. At the cry, the noise thereof was heard in the Red Sea. Behold, he shall come up and fly as the eagle, and spread his wings over Bozra. And at that day shall the heart of the mighty men of Edom be as the heart of a woman in her pangs.
Even the some enemies come from north to attack this Muslim country, he said, I'll tell him, go away. I'll take care of it. And the last days, the word of God says, God is going to do a great thing. He says, who will be like me doing the job? So when you read in the book of Isaiah chapter 63, please read verses 1 to 4.
Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozra? This that is
so
glorious.
Edom and Bozra. Okay.
Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozra? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury. And their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in my heart. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come.
See, here the word of God is saying, even the other people come to destroy, I tell them, move away, I'll take care. And he says, Jeremiah chapter 49, verses 21 and 22, he says, the destruction will come, and the noise of the destruction will be heard far away. And it will come, even the people be hearing that in the sea. That means like a big bomb or big noise will come. But Jesus Christ says, I will do it myself alone. When God does, he uses the other people to do it. Just like God said to Israeli people, I'm going to destroy you. But at the same time, he prepared the Nebuchadnezzar and said, Nebuchadnezzar, my servant, will do it. But the same way God says, I'm going to do it, but he has ways to do it. And Jesus Christ saying, when I went to Bozra and destroyed them, and my clothes were like a bloody, and I did it myself. And if you read in the book of Revelation chapter 19, Jesus Christ comes from heaven, this is going to destroy. And there we finish about Edom. Verse 23, this is Damascus. Jeremiah 49:23.
Concerning Damascus, Hamath is confounded and Arpad, for they have heard evil tidings. They are faint-hearted. There is sorrow on the sea. It cannot be quiet. Damascus is waxed feeble, and turneth herself to flee, and fear hath seized on her. Anguish and sorrows have taken her as a woman in travail. How is the city of praise not left, the city of my joy? Therefore her young men shall fall in her streets, and all the men of war shall be cut off in that day, saith the Lord of hosts. And I will kindle a fire in the wall of Damascus, and it shall consume the palaces of Ben-Hadad.
Now, here we see, it's a very short paragraph about Damascus. But the Damascus is going to be destroyed one day. Now we see the signs in Syria and Damascus is the bomb people are putting and people are running. And he says people will be killing each other. They'll be falling on the streets. And this prophecy almost fulfilling. Babylonian people did it. But the time will come in the end time. This Damascus will not be there. You will find the Damascus will be gone. Go to the book of Amos, chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. Amos 1, 3 to 5.
Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Damascus, and for four I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have threshed Gilead with threshing instruments of iron. But I will send a fire into the house of Hazael, which shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad. I will break also the bar of Damascus, and cut off the inhabitant from the plain of Avon, and him that holdeth the scepter from the house of Eden, and the people of Syria shall go into captivity unto Kir, saith the Lord.
Okay, now this was talking about the time of Nebuchadnezzar. But the time will come that Damascus will be completely destroyed. Okay, go back to the book of Jeremiah 49, verse 28. Now there are two names are given, Kedar and Hazar. Okay, let's read.
Concerning Kedar and concerning the kingdoms of Hazor, which Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, shall smite, Thus saith the Lord, arise ye, go up to Kedar, and spoil the men of the east. Their tents and their flocks shall they take away. They shall take to themselves their curtains, and all their vessels and their camels, and they shall cry unto them, fear is on every side. Flee, get you far off, dwell deep, O ye inhabitants of Hazor, saith the Lord, for Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, hath taken counsel against you, and hath conceived a purpose against you. Arise, get you up unto the wealthy nation that dwelleth without care, saith the Lord, which have neither gates nor bars, which dwell alone. And their camels shall be a booty, and the multitude of their cattle spoil. And I will scatter into all winds them that are in the utmost corners, and I will bring their calamity from all sides thereof, saith the Lord. And Hazor shall be a dwelling for dragons, and a desolation forever, and there shall no man abide there, nor any son of man dwell in it.
Now here we see two countries, two people. One is Kedar, and one is Hazar. Now these people also fought with the Israeli people. They did so many bad things. Time doesn't permit, but I'll give a couple of verses. Go to the book of Genesis, chapter 25, and verse 13, I think. 12 and 13.
Now these are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's handmaid, bare unto Abraham.
Now, this Kedar is the son of Ishmael. That means they are all coming from Muslim country. Okay. Isaiah chapter 21, verse 16 to 17.
For thus hath the Lord said unto me, within a year, according to the years of an hireling, and all the glory of Kedar shall fail, and the residue of the number of archers, the mighty men of the children of Kedar, shall be diminished, for the Lord God of Israel hath spoken it.
Now, here also he's saying, this Kedar will be destroyed, and the time has come. Even the Babylonian people destroy them, but the time will come, and God is going to destroy all the Ishmael's family. We saw Edom, that's also coming from Esau, and this Kedar, they are also Ishmael's family, and they will be destroyed. Now Hazar, let's read a little bit about Hazar. Joshua chapter 11, verses 1 to 11.
And it came to pass when Jabin, king of Hazor, had heard those things, that he sent to Jobab, king of Madon, and to the king of Shimron, and to the king of Akshaph, and to the kings that were on the north of the mountains, and of the plains south of Chinneroth, and in the valley, and in the borders of Dor on the west, and to the Canaanite on the east and on the west, and to the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Jebusite in the mountains, and to the Hivite under Hermon in the land of Mizpah. And they went out, they and all their hosts, with them much people, even as the sand that is upon the seashore in multitude, with horses and chariots very many. And when all these kings were met together, they came and pitched together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. And the Lord said unto Joshua, be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time will I deliver them up all slain before Israel. Thou shalt half their horses and burn their chariots with fire. So Joshua came, and all the people of war with him, against them by the waters of Merom suddenly, and they fell upon them. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, who smote them and chased them unto great Zidon, and unto Mishrephoth-Maim, and unto the valley of Mizpah eastward, and they smote them until they left them none remaining.
We can read up to 13, time it doesn't permit. So here we see, in the time of Joshua, they fought with the Hazar and destroyed them, but still some people were remaining. And after Joshua comes another book called Judges. Judges chapter 4, verse 1 to 3.
And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel.
Now see how many years? 20 years he was reigning, and he gave a very hard time to children of Israel. So the word of God says, God told Abraham, whoever blesses you, they will be blessed. Whoever curses you, they will be cursed. So whoever goes against children of Israel, they are going to be punished. So here he reigned with the Israeli people, on Israeli people, tried to destroy them 20 years. But God says the time has come, and God will say, okay, I'll take care of Kedar, I'll take care of Hazar, and I'll destroy them. Okay, go back to the book of Jeremiah chapter 49. We are in the last paragraph, and we're going to finish. This is a big chapter, so bear with me. Verse 34. Jeremiah 49:34.
The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet against Elam in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the chief of their might. And upon Elam will I bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven, and will scatter them toward all those winds. And there shall be no nation whither the outcasts of Elam shall not come. For I will cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies, and before them that seek their life, and I will bring evil upon them, even my fierce anger, saith the Lord, and I will send the sword after them till I have consumed them. And I will set my throne in Elam, and will destroy from thence the king and the princes, saith the Lord.
Okay, now, up to now we heard, God says, I am going to destroy Elam. And I was thinking, who is this Elam? And we found out, I'll let you know also, Genesis chapter 10, verse 22.
The children of Shem, Elam and Asher and Arphaxad and Lud and Aram.
Now, who is Shem? Do you know? Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And so now, he is the son of Shem, Elam. And so I was thinking, he is the son of Noah, and from Shem came Seth, from Seth came even Abraham, and all the Israeli people came from the same family. And now what happened, this man joined with the heathen and start fighting God's people, even Abraham. And we don't have time, but if you go to Genesis chapter 14, you know the story that some people kidnap Lot, and someone came and said, do you know your nephew is kidnapped from Sodom and Gomorrah, and all these kings are there to destroy? Abraham took his servants and went and destroyed all these kings, and one of the kings was Elam. But God helped Abraham, and then the king of Salem came and gave him the bread and wine and blessed him. So the point I'm making, God's servant Abraham was called the friend of God, and Elam goes to destroy Abraham's nephew. So God did not forget. If you do anything harm to children of God, God will take care of you. That's what the word of God says. Do not take revenge. Revenge is mine. Abraham didn't go after Elam and say, hey, you are the Shem's family. You are coming from the Seth family. We are all Shem's family. We are all relatives. Why did you fight with me? He didn't do anything. He just defeated other kings. Elam also was defeated, but God kept that in his mind, and now he says, I'm going to destroy you. And they were destroyed, but he gave one promise. Read the verse 39. Jeremiah 49, verse 39.
But it shall come to pass in the latter days that I will bring again the captivity of Elam, saith the Lord.
Now again, he gave the assurance for the Elam and his tribe, I will bring you back in the latter days. So we saw so many nations were destroyed and going to be destroyed. But not that those nations did not give the promise to come back. So were three people. Jeremiah chapter 48, verse 47, Moab, given chance to restore. Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 6, Ammonites, given chance to survive and come back to the millennium. Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 39, Elam. So Moab, Ammonites, and Elam. All these families or these countries will be restored in the time of millennium. But all other countries, Canaanites, Edom, and all those Muslim countries will be destroyed. But God will take care of his people. Shall we rise? So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace. You are going to protect us. Enemies are there to destroy us. But you have given us grace to trample over the snakes and scorpions and enemies, and you are going to defeat all the enemies for us. Your word says, battle is of the Lord. So Lord Jesus, we call upon you. We pray for all the Christians suffering around the world. Protect them and take care of them and let them know God is with them. And if anyone, even the these countries, some of them backslidden, some of them went against God, but God says, in the latter days, I'll give you a chance to come back. So even the backslidden people, you are giving chance to return to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. You are so loving and so kind. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. And amen. Please be seated.